All right, brethren, if you will, turn to the book of 1 John. 1 John. The title of my message today is, This Then is the Message. This Then is the Message. I feel unworthy and ill-equipped every time I stand in a pulpit. That's not lip service. And especially today, it's no different than the other day. The message hasn't changed. But whenever I start looking at the Lord's holiness, no man can describe that. But John gives us a message here. Whenever I tell you I labor in the Word, I labor for a message. I'm not looking for a message. I'm not looking for something new to tell you. I'm not looking for what to say. I'm looking for how to say it. I want to put it in an order that's logical. But let's look here at our text. John will help us with that today. 1 John chapter 1, look in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We're going to look at these three verses today, and I have 3 points. God is light. He is holy. He is perfect. Man's nature, our heart, is darkness. Evil. And Christ's blood is what saves us and gives us our righteousness. He gives us life. He gives us the ability to have fellowship with the Father. God's holy, man isn't, and Christ is what brings the two together. John begins this letter there in verse 1 speaking of Christ, the Word of life. He says he's heard Christ. He saw Christ. He handled Him. He touched Him. Because this experience, because Christ was manifested to John, Christ was revealed. He revealed Himself to John. Now John's a witness. He saw something in the flesh, and he can tell us about it. He can tell what he saw. And he writes this general letter, this general epistle, to declare Christ. But for what reasons? Why does John declare Christ to us? Look there in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. John declares these things, that we can have fellowship with our brethren. We can truly have fellowship with one another. That we can have true fellowship with the Father. We have true fellowship with Christ Jesus, our Lord. And then what does He finish with? Through that fellowship, through that reconciliation of what Christ accomplished, we can truly have joy. Now we have joy. We didn't before. Now we can. But I want you to have joy. I want to have joy, and I want you to have joy. I want true fellowship with Christ. I don't want to say I have fellowship with Him. I want to have fellowship with Him. I want to have fellowship with my brethren. True fellowship. I want to be reconciled to the God that I offended. That's what we need. But to get those things, we need a message. We need to be taught of these things. If a man comes up with a message by themselves, if I come up with something new to tell you, I come up with an interesting way of approaching things that's different, I'm in trouble and you're in trouble. But if the Lord sends a message, His message, through a broken clay pot, a worthless vessel, if He sends it, He applies it. He makes it effectual. And I pray that every day. I pray the Lord will make His Word effectual to His people. And He will. He said, it will not return unto me void. So what's John's message? What's any true preacher's message? A lot of people this morning have messages. What does God's true servants have as a message? What's the message of these Holy Scriptures? Look there in verse 5. 1 John 1, verse 5. This then is the message. This is the message. John didn't tell us it's a message. This is the message of the gospel. The message of the Scriptures. I want to hear about that. I wish everybody would hear about that. I wish I could get the ear of every person in this county. But what's the source of this message, of the message that John's telling us? Did a seminary professor develop this after years of study? Did man come up with it? Is this a doctrine? Is it a systematic theology that deductive reasoning has come up with, and a bunch of other big words? Do we have to have a thesaurus to hear this message? What's the source? There in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him. Christ is the source of the message which we have heard of Him. The message comes from Christ our Lord. Do we alter it? Do we change it so it's more palatable to men? So it's easier to hear so we don't offend? Look at verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him. We got it from Christ. And declare unto you. John received the message from the Christ in the flesh. And that's what he's declaring to us. Didn't change it at all, did he? It says, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. This three-word statement there, God is light. Our whole gospel hangs on that. What is light? Light in the Scriptures is God's holiness. God is holy. All the aspects of His character are sustained and defined by His holiness. God is sovereign. He's the ruler and sustainer of all things. God is just. He will in no means clear the guilty. God is love. It says, herein is love, not that we loved Him, but He loved us, gave His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. God is truth. He cannot lie. But all these things are true of the character and the person of God, but they hinge on His holiness. What do I mean by that? If He were like a man, there would be no comfort in His sovereignty, only fear. There's a short feller on the other side of that ocean that's sovereign over that nation. I wouldn't want to live underneath him, would you? He controls everything. That'd be a rough state of affairs. There would be no comfort in the Lord's love, only heartache if He wasn't holy. There'd be no hope in His promise. We would just doubt. But He's holy. Brethren, God is not like us. He's not like man. He's perfect. He is righteous. He's holy. Moses wrote there in Numbers 23, God is like, not like a man that he should lie. He's not like us. David told us there in Psalm 135 about all the idols that men make. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have mouths, they can't speak. They have hands, but they can't touch nothing. And he says that they make idol gods like unto themselves. That's our nature. We want a God like us, something we can control, we can manipulate. We can push around, not lean on. But our God, the God of this Bible, is holy. He is holy. My dad, about 25 years ago, I said, Dad, what's that mean? We was driving a truck one day. He said, son, God doesn't do what's right. What God does is right. Holiness is a hard thing for us to put into words because it's foreign to mankind. Talk about feeling unable. We have no concept of holiness other than what the Lord tells us. And we can't hardly enter into that unless He lets us. His light shines on us. God cannot have an unclean thing in His presence. Hebrews 12 is pretty clear on that. We must have a pure heart. We must have a holy heart to enter into His presence. We don't have that. How is God's holiness manifested to us? God Almighty's holiness is revealed in His Son, Jesus Christ. So who is this light? Let's look at that light for a minute. Let's see who and what this means. Turn over to John chapter 1. We're going to be going back and forth quite a bit between 1 John and John's Gospel. So if you can, mark your place in both. Or stick your finger in it. But John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Man's holiness comes from Christ giving them life. If we have light in us, if we have holiness in us, it's from Him. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. If any man believes, it is through the light. It is through Christ, the light of the gospel. There in verse 8 says, he, speaking of John, John was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John, the son of Zebedee, the apostle here that's writing these. John the Baptist. All the Lord's prophets. They do not preach themselves, they preach Christ. They bear witness of the light. God's holiness manifested in Christ His Son. Not man's holiness. His holiness. Not this little light of mine. That holy light that He gives. Turn over to John 8. There in verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He is the light. Christ is the light. He is the holiness. He's the holy thing. Turn over to John chapter 9, page or two. You remember that miracle that Christ performed on the Sabbath? That man was in physical darkness and our Master gave him sight. That's what we're going to see. John chapter 9 and verse 1. And Jesus passed by and he saw a man which was blind from his birth. He was blind his whole life. He knew it. His parents knew it. The people, his next door neighbor knew it. He was born blind. Couldn't see. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind. I want to have a side note here. We should never judge tribulation that one of our brothers or sisters has or is going through, or any person on this earth. We should never judge that tribulation as chastisement only. What's that mean? Well, so-and-so got cancer. What did they do? Uh-oh. We're so quick to point the finger at others for what we see as evil or a correction. They must have done something wrong. They had their leg broke, house caught on fire. They did something wrong. God is not reactive. He is proactive. He doesn't act after we do something. I wish I get that through my head. Much less everybody else's head. Our Lord is proactive. What we mean for evil, He means for good. But this man was blind. He had never seen anything but darkness. This is me and you, brethren. We are born spiritually blind. We're born in spiritual darkness. This is the state of every child of Adam. We cannot comprehend light. We cannot comprehend holiness because we're only wicked. Look here in John 9, verse 3. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. This blindness wasn't a punishment or a reaction to sin. So what was the reason for it? But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, that which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. He was given sight. This man was in darkness, knew nothing of the light of God's holiness in Christ. And then what happened? Christ came to him. He revealed himself to him. He shed his light abroad in him. Now he physically gave this man sight, physically gave him eyes to see. But the Master gave this blind man spiritual light to reveal God's salvation in him. Darkness is the absence of light. Wicked and sinful, our hearts are the absence of holiness. We can do nothing for it. Like, we understand those things. So I've said a few times about planting seeds and growing trees and these things the Lord puts in the Bible so we can understand them. Things we can touch and see. We understand light and darkness, don't we? If something's dark, it can't make light. You can't see what's around you. You're unaware. We stumble. If somebody turns the light on, we can't hug light, we can't touch light, can't see nothing, but it reveals. It shows us what's around us. It illuminates everything around us. But we're in darkness. Look there back in 1 John 1, verse 6. First, God's holy. God is light. Second, man's not. Man's in darkness. 1 John 1, 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. What is it to walk in darkness? Most people think that's, well, you're living in sin. Well, that's true if you're willfully sinning. But while we are in this flesh, we are nothing but sin. So what does that mean? Walking in darkness is to look to ourselves and not look to Christ the light. We look to this light that's in us that we come up with. Turn over to John chapter 3. John 3 and verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Light is holiness, and darkness is sin. Men love sin over holiness. Men love themselves over God. I've heard people say, I don't love evil things, I love good things. We know that's not true. Worldly, we know that's not true. I would rather have a foot rub than dig a ditch. I would rather eat carrot cake than eat carrots. Those things are silly, but we know that. We prefer things that aren't good for us. That's what we crave. But we have joy in the things that are no profit. Spiritually, we're the same. We want what'll kill us. We have no interest in the things that'll profit. We desire what we want to do. We desire to work. We desire to do something. Receive the glory for it. We don't desire the things of God. By nature, we don't desire that He gets all the glory. Turn over to John chapter 5, verse 42. John 5, 42. Our Master speaks there and says, But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. For if another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can ye believe, which receiveth honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Walking in darkness, our nature wants his own honor from other men. We honor one another, not for Christ to receive all the honor. Verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. Coming to God in our own works through the law, through Moses, is what our old nature trusts in. We trust in our doing, and that will be the very thing which will prove our uncleanness. That law that we love more than the one that fulfilled it. We want the law, not the fulfiller of the law. That'll condemn you. Verse 46 says, For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Moses pointed us to Christ, didn't he? By our sin-born nature, we want to do something. I want to work. I want to have something to do. We look to Moses and say, I've kept that law, or I'm trying to keep that law, or I'm trying to be a good person. We're looking to Moses. That law of Moses only proves we're helpless. That's our schoolmaster. It shows us that we can't keep it, and it shows us who did keep it. It shows us our need of a substitute. It points us to Christ, the fulfiller of the law. Solomon wrote, But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. But the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Man in darkness is the exact pictures of us blinded by our sin. It's pitch black. We have no idea where we're going. We don't even know what we're tripping over. You ever walk through a room late at night and it's dark? Stump your toe? That may be the bed. It may be the dresser. You don't know. We don't know where we're going. And we'll do it over and over, won't we? Keep walking in a circle. All right, back to our text here in 1 John 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say we have fellowship with Christ, the light, with God Almighty, man repeatedly says they have fellowship with God. Almost anyone you speak with. Do you know God? Oh, I know Him. You believe God? I believe there's a God. I believe God. But they walk in darkness. And they lie. They're lying to themselves and they're lying to God. They do not the truth. Notice there that John wrote, he didn't write, they do not tell the truth. It says they say they have fellowship and they lie, but they do not tell the truth. No, he said they do not the truth. They do not believe God. We'll see this again throughout 1 John. But do the truth. Him that doeth righteousness. We'll see those things a few times. That means believe Christ. Believe Christ. People that walk in darkness do not walk in light. And saints that walk in light do not walk in darkness. It's either or. You can't have a little bit of both. There's no shading. It's light or darkness. Sinners saved by God's grace, they say they believe God, but they also believe Him. It's not just lip service. They walk in the light that's given to them. Believers say that Christ is all of our hope, but He's who we actually hope in. Not ourselves. Believers say that Christ finished the work, but they actually rest from working themselves. They turn from their own works. Bring all of our burdens to the Lord, and we leave them there. Those first two points are rough, aren't they? God's holy. There's a holy God on His throne right now. And man's wicked. We're dark. Does that offend you? Does that condemn you? If it does, that is wonderful. You're paying attention. You're listening to me. But how can an unholy man or woman approach God? If He's holy, we're unholy. How can we have fellowship with Him? How can we have communion? How can we be reconciled to God? Saints are cleansed through the blood of Christ. He's our mediator. Here's the good news. God provided Himself a lamb. He provided a propitiation. He provided a substitute in His Son. He provided our mediator. He provided. If we do walk in light, if Christ has performed a work in us, He gives of spiritual eyes to see His light, His holiness, our wickedness. And what do we have? We have fellowship with one another. John said there in verse 3. We have true fellowship with Christ because we're made one with Him. And we have fellowship with the Father. We have atonement with the Father. Christ made atonement. That word means at-one-ment. We've been made one with Christ. We've been made at-one-ment with our brethren because we are one with Christ. And you are one with Christ. If you're one with Christ and I'm one with Christ, we're fellows in the same boat, ain't we? Verse 7 there says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And through the preaching of the gospel, the Spirit enters into a man and woman's heart and gives them life. Christ dwells in them. He dwells in you. Then and only then can people have true fellowship in Christ. That word's abused in our generation. So many are. People ask me, are you a Christian? What do you mean by that? They ask me that question. I ask them a question back. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. When the Holy God, who is light, who is holy, makes reconciliation between a sinner and Himself through Christ, a new creature is born in them, and they no longer have fellowship with darkness. Now, we may have love for unbelievers. We may have friendship with unbelievers. But we cannot have fellowship with unbelievers. Why? We're not in the same boat. We're not fellows in the same ship. We are in the light of Christ's holiness, and they are still in the darkness in their own attempts at holiness. That's hard. That's the truth. Here in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I've heard several people respond to that text, and they say, see, we have to separate ourselves. Paul tells us we have to sanctify ourselves. We have to set ourselves apart. A true believer will. Why? It's natural. That's their new nature. The true child of God cannot stand the darkness of self-righteousness, the darkness of man's works, the darkness of man's glory. If you don't believe me, if you believe this gospel, if the Lord's done a work in you, can you listen to false preaching? Can you listen to someone lie about your God, about the true God? Can't tolerate it, can you? It's poison. It's a foul taste in my mouth, and I spit thee out. But believers want no part or attempted fellowship with those that look for their own way, that don't believe in the same God they believe in. Many say, well, that's my Arminian brother, or that's my Catholic brother. Not so. If they don't believe in the God of the Bible, we don't have the same Father. Can't be brothers. If a believer stands solely on Christ alone, and another person stands on anything else, they can't stand next to each other. We understand those things, don't we? If I'm standing on Christ, a solid rock, and you're standing somewhere else, we're not standing shoulder to shoulder. We're not in the same place. A friend of mine always told me, he said, we're going to the same place, we're just taking different roads. No, we're not. We either have fellowship in Christ or we don't. It's black and white. It's light and dark. Total opposites. I stand on the effectual blood of Christ, on His completed work of my salvation, on His completed work of my sanctification. And listen to this. I stand on Christ's completed work of my preservation. It's all, my preservation's already been performed. All right, back here in our text, John, 1 John. God is light. He's perfect and holy. Man's dead in darkness. And Christ, as our high priest, made the intercession for His elect people, reconciling us to the God that we offended. Now, after Christ has performed that, we have fellowship with our brethren. We have fellowship with Christ our Savior and with the God our Father. There in verse 7, 1 John 1, 7. But if we walk in light, as He is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sins. That is the message. God's holy, man's dead in darkness, and Christ's blood is what gives us life. We're robed in His righteousness, not our own. Who's the only one that can get glory in that? He's holy, we're dead, Christ did it all. Who gets the glory? Christ does. Those that's never heard the message of Scriptures, God's just and the justifier through His Son, believe on Him. Hear the message. Hear His Word. I pray that God gives you the eyes to see His holiness and man's wickedness. I pray that you're given a new heart that completely and truly trusts Christ alone for the cleansing of our sins. I pray you can rest on what Christ has already accomplished. If you trust in yourself for anything, you will be ashamed, and it will result in damnation. If you trust in Christ for all things, you'll never be ashamed. Never. Trust in Him. Trust in Him alone. That's the message, isn't it? Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your message. Lord, give us ears to hear it. Allow us to get an understanding of Your glory, Your holiness. Allow us to understand what wretches we are, Lord. And allow us to see Christ as span that great divide. What an unimaginable work He's accomplished. Lord, let us praise Him. Let us give Him all the glory for it. Be with our brethren as they suffer through trials, Lord. Allow us to see that You are working in them to manifest Your light in them. Allow us to comfort them. Lord, let them see that. Let them be comforted through their trial, knowing that at the end of it, they'll grow in that light, in the knowledge of Christ. Grow them in wisdom and patience of waiting on You. It's in Christ's name that we ask it. Amen.